Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
To your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high flying, ran fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching Eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
I don't call it the off season. I call it the non-playing season.
Is that what you say when people, you know, normies ask you about what you do in the off season? You say it's the not the off season, it's the non-playing season.
I don't correct them, but I'll call it the non-playing season.
Okay.
I'll feel like there's the playing season.
The NPO.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman here to talk about the latest that's going on with the birds. Joined in the show, very, very excited, by Matt Quinn from Mountjoy. They've got two shows in Philly this weekend. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Johnson's and other fun things. I don't know. I'm excited. Although, to be fair, we did already do the interview. We're going to play it later. But I'm excited. You guys are going to enjoy it. Zach, we're here on time right now. We're in good shape.
Well, doesn't Tom Coughlin say that on time is early, and early is, you know, early is on time.
But you didn't take that to heart for the Matt Quinn interview.
I was on Shields Pod, and I was a few minutes behind. Yes.
Okay. Well, for those
enjoyed reconnecting with Shield. It's nice to come out of a podcast not feeling horrible about yourself. So that was a change of pace, but I enjoyed it.
Well, for the loyal Birds with Friends listeners who would never dare listen to a competing podcast, what's going on with the Eagles? Why don't we send it over to the Stone Cold Newsman?
It's been a busy few days for the Philadelphia Eagles, starting on Sunday night when they signed Zach Cunningham and Miles Jack, veteran linebackers, significant starting experience, bringing them into the fold. Two big moves that perhaps happened earlier than some anticipated. So we will discuss that. Josh Sills returned to the team after the podcast on Friday, taken off the commissioner exempt list, and the Eagles held on to him. We will get into that as well today. Devin Allen is back, was taken off NFI. The Eagles signed Johnny King, undrafted rookie out of, I believe, Southeast Missouri State, had been with the Colts, was waived last week. The Eagles released two players who Bo has been watching closely, Chim Okorafor and Trevor Reed. Chim is a rookie he's from a small school, and Trevor Reed spent 3 years at Louisville, started 24 games before coming to the Eagles as an undrafted rookie. A little bit of a surprise cut this early in camp. We will get into that as well. But those were the big moves. The Eagles also added Josh Andrews. Did that happen since we last spoke? The days are all conflated right now.
It belongs the Eagles in the update, yes.
Okay, belongs in the update. The Eagles brought back Josh Andrews, veteran offensive lineman, was with the Eagles a few years back, was on the practice squad actually during the Super Bowl season, giving the Eagles another member of the 2017 Super Bowl team, or Super Bowl roster rather, on their 2023 team. Back to you in the studio, Bo.
I feel like Johnny King sounds like a 1960s poker player or something like that.
That's very specific.
He could be,
is there a delineation between a 1960s poker player and a 1970s?
Well, yeah, because like a poker player now is just like an MIT math whiz, whereas like a poker player from the Doyle Brunson days of yore is more of a dirt of the earth type guy.
How's your poker game?
I haven't played poker in a long time. I was definitely big caught up in the fad, during high school and maybe the very beginning of college. I like a poker, but I haven't played poker in a while.
Playing on your floor at Wake Forest?
We did a little bit of that. It was more junior senior year of high school that we were getting together to play more often.
Were you a skilled poker player, or did you just have such a good poker face and would practice psychological warfare on the other people in the game?
Go ahead.
You have a special guest.
We're
over
switching
there,
the
right?
Laundry from from the washer to the dryer. So if you hear a little bit of a tumble, that's what that is. I would say I was a very mediocre poker player.
Okay.
It's not like I was like doing a great job reading people. I was mostly just hoping to get the nuts.
Okay. How about you? You've improved in that area since then. Was more of a blackjack guy than a poker guy.
Okay. I like a blackjack. Poker. Yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't call myself a particularly skilled poker player.
Who's the best?
Enjoy poker analogies.
Among the Berman brothers, who's the best poker player?
I'm going to offend somebody here. I would say Nick, probably.
Okay. Fair enough.
They're listening. They will. I'm sure I'll get a few texts.
Yeah, I hope you get an angry text
later
from
tonight.
Alex.
They're not watching
about?
Live.
I wore a bracelet.
But they are listening.
A couple things to touch on. Well, let's save the linebackers for next. Just quickly on these relatively more minor transactions. The Trevor Reed thing is...
By the way, wait, real quick. I'm going to chime in. That's a very Birds with Friends statement. Let's save the linebackers and focus on the minor transactions.
Well, because I want to get these things out of the way, and then we're going to have a longer discussion about linebackers. Yeah. I agree with you that the Trevor Reed thing is interesting and a bit of a surprise. He has not played super well. There's a reason that he's cut, obviously. But they had 19 offensive linemen. They had to cut guys. It's interesting, though, that we've talked a little bit about like how worrisome the depth along the offensive line is right now. And if you just look at the way that they want to like usually build their offensive line room, Trevor Reed comes in. He's this like super athletic guy, former high recruit, which certainly you would have loved. And is the kind of guy who you would have thought would have been ticketed for the practice squad. Right. And for them to get rid of him in favor of, Roderick Johnson and Fred Johnson, who have been in the league for 4 or 5 years, like the makeup of that offensive line room, and this goes to the Josh Andrews signing too, it's a little bit concerning long term, right? Because presumably next year you've got Tyler Steen starting next to Cam Jurgens, if this is Jason Kelsey's last year, and behind them there's really there's nobody. Jack Driscoll's contract's running out. I would imagine he maybe comes back, but Josh Sills is now that next guy, like the young guy who's being groomed in the room, I guess. I don't know. It's just a little bit curious. It must tell you that Stoutland just doesn't think that Trevor Reed has much going on.
Yeah. That would be my guess. I wouldn't be so worried about the long-term prospects here. If you look at Dane Brugler's look ahead for next year's draft, whatever it was, the top 50, I think it was, loaded with offensive tackles. I think this is a position that the Eagles look hard at during the draft next year. They will replenish that position. You mentioned Tyler Steen, high third-round pick. So they do have some young guys. But, yeah, they don't have the same undrafted.
Yeah, the days of having Nate Herbig and Sua Opeta and Ryan Bates all here, mm-hmm. and Casey Tucker, like the third team offensive line right now is all veterans.
That's true. I think really what their intent is to throw you off with the 53. They feel like you've gotten too good in that, and that
I'm having a really hard time with the crush. I have to Thursday. I will announce it because I have to announce it.
Sounds like high school,
but. But I'm having a really hard time. Nobody's grabbing my heartstrings. Nobody.
Even now, there's two sessions left.
I know. I'm telling you. Now, by the way, I just glossed over that. We will have no show tomorrow. We will be back on Thursday. Right. And then, of course, we'll have a post-game pod on Saturday. But, I could run through all the people I've looked at closely to tell you. And it's just nothing's taking me over the edge. I may do something unprecedented. So we will see how that goes. Josh Andrews, who you mentioned, had a chance to talk to him today. He was the second team center, and you could tell already how much smoother things are running with a second team offense because he was able to snap the ball adequately. I think he's got a shot to make the team. More likely, practice squad, they keep him around and don't give him a vested veteran deal. But it's really, I think, because they don't have a reliable backup center aside from Cam Juergens. So.
Yeah, I actually think both those veteran signings, Dennis Kelly and Josh Andrews, seemed poised for the practice squad. And then they figure out which elevation they need. Do they need depth at tackle or do they need depth at center on that given week?
Do you know where Josh Andrews lives these days?
He went to Oregon State. He played for the Eagles, played for the Vikings, played for the Saints. So... let's see. Those are all good places to live. My guess is because you asked Philadelphia.
No, actually, he was living in Portland, Oregon, with his three kids.
Nah.
And was thinking he was thinking about hanging them up. This might have been it. He's trying to maybe network and get himself a job at Nike. But
In Beaverton.
Then the Eagles came calling.
Worth it just for that employee store, right? Have you heard about that?
No, tell me.
I've never been an employee of Nike, but apparently if you're an employee, they have a campus store, if you will, where you get insane, or you get very good discounts. And I hear it's a great perk to the job at Nike. I've spoken to a few people who've worked in Beaverton and have mentioned that.
Isn't it interesting that Phil Knight, of course, such an Oregon donor, but they work in Beaverton. Of course, the Oregon State Beavers.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with the joke. Yeah.
How curious.
Are you a big Portland guy? I know you're a big Portland, Maine guy. Portland, Oregon?
I like Portland. Yeah. Okay. I haven't been.
Never been. Want to go.
I haven't been that many times. I've only been twice. Once, really. One was just a night. So, yeah, I like a Portland.
Did you eat Voodoo Donuts when there?
I did not. All right. We've been pussyfooting around this long enough. Let's talk about the linebackers. Zach Cunningham, Miles Jack. What does this mean for the current state of the Eagles linebacker room? What does it mean for their opinion of N'Kobe Dean? Who are these guys? Do you expect to make an impact? Where do they play today? Give me all your download.
So let's start with today because we're in essence doing
we're here today. It's a Quackus report. Yes,
Miles Jack was taking snaps with the first team. Zach Cunningham taking snaps with the second team. Wasting no time there. Now the Eagles were thin at the position.
Right, they literally don't have other options. But yes,
yeah, but they could have gone Christian Ellis and Nicholas Morrow. They could have gone Sean Bradley. And Nicholas Moore, they could have done a handful of combinations. They went with Miles Jack. There's Zach Cunningham with the second team. look, two really experienced players still in their mid to late 20s. Miles Jack, drafted at a young age. He was a 20-year-old, I believe, when he was drafted. Two-way player at UCLA.
Where did he go to high school?
Linebacker. He's from Bellevue, Washington.
Mm. Yes. And that's how the connection to UCLA happened, right?
Oh, did you listen to the pod? Yeah, okay, you listened to the pod. Okay. You
know, Huskies. Okay.
Yes, okay. So
no, I just knew that.
Okay, there you go. For full disclosure here, and Bo teases me about my Miles Jack interest. I'm going to be transparent.
Just, I know you well.
Yeah, I'm going to be transparent. I was in the press box the other day with Bo, and he was teasing me about Miles Jack, and I did look up. I went to the Twitter search field. I put in my handle, and I put in Miles Jack, and I found an old 97.5, you know, the Fanatic when you're on and they transcribe what you say. And I said, Miles Jack is the best player in the draft. So that was 2016. He fell to the second round because of injury concerns. Although he hasn't been like an Iron Man, but he's been durable enough. He hasn't missed considerable time. He was really productive early in his career with the Jaguars, signed $57 million contract extension, had a bad season with Urban Meyer. He can be absolved of that. A lot of people had a bad season with Urban Meyer. Got real money in Pittsburgh last year and wasn't good enough in Pittsburgh. They cut him, was a cap casualty. He's been on the market. The fact that he's still available or was still available in early August says something. But you're still looking at someone 27 going on to age 28. He moved fine today. I mean, we didn't get much of a sample size to really evaluate. But that's the skinny on Miles Jack. I should also add, was drafted and given a contract extension by Dave Caldwell, who's in that Eagles building and is this time of year is with the team. So something to be mindful of there.
I'm just looking at the 2016 draft. It's such a bold take even then to say that Miles Jack is the best player in the draft with like Joey Bosa and Jalen Ramsey. Like those guys also fit like who you would have liked, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting you to go Carson Wentz necessarily, but I feel like Ramsey and Bosa would have been up your alley. Even Tunsil.
I mean, it was a bit of hyperbole. Okay.
Do you remember giving that interview?
I don't remember giving that interview. Okay. I do remember when the Eagles traded from 13 to 8. Saying, "Oh, they're in Miles Jack territory." I probably texted McLean at like 5:30 in the morning, being like, "We should really look into Miles Jack right now." And Jeff probably picked up his phone and is like, "Zach, come on,
it's a linebacker."
Yeah, true, and a running back. So Zach Cunningham was a standout at Vanderbilt, second round pick with the Texans, tackling machine, right? Great size, great length, but really known for his tackling ability. Was also got a contract extension with the Texans. They waived him during the David Culley year. He ends up in Tennessee, was injured last year. So two different types of players, but both off ball guys. Cunningham has more length. Jack, I don't want to say he has more speed, but so I'm curious to see. I'll turn this over to you because I've monopolized this conversation a bit. Who's starting day one, if either one of them?
I don't know. And I think that's part of the philosophy behind bringing in two of these guys is that you did a similar bet on Nicholas Morrow and it doesn't look like he's working out. Let's see who still has legs and who can transition. By the way, have you thought about a possible connection here between the way that the Eagles signed both Miles Jack and Zach Cunningham, signed him to the exact same deal, and the way that they did that last year with Dominick Sue and Linval Joseph?
I knew you were going with that joke there.
I had to.
Yeah,
I do. The people who are really paying attention, who are sickos to like how news gets disseminated, like it's so funny. One national reporter reports that they're signing with the Eagles and says the exact same thing connecting to Linval Joseph and Dominican Sue. The other national reporter has the details and says the exact same thing. I mean, it's good stuff. There's
and
no
they add in there,
there's no surprises about how the tofu gets made here.
Yeah. Yeah, look, Howie didn't get this far.
He's no dummy.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. What's the expression? Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, of course, you can draw the direct line between the two signings because they both happen because the Eagles are worried that maybe the guy from Georgia stinks.
So let's get into that part of it. I don't think that is the
reason for the signing. Now, obviously, the injury is part of the reason for the signing. They're on bodies to begin with. But I also think that if the Eagles were head over heels in love with what N'Kobe Dean has done so far and they think he's going to be like a Pro Bowl linebacker right away, I don't think they would have signed both of these guys. I think you could make the case that the injury is the bigger concern. Our understanding is that he's going to be back soon. I still think that N'Kobe Dean's
And he was running today, by the way, on the side.
Right. Yep. I have every expectation that N'Kobe Dean is still going to be the number one linebacker, and he's going to get the majority of the snaps there, and he's going to be the signal caller. But maybe they're a little bit more worried about what their backup plan is than they would have been a week ago. I think that's possible, or 2 weeks ago. Is that what you think?
Certainly about the backup plan, right? They were bare going in the camp. Anyone watching this could see they needed to upgrade at linebacker. We've been talking about this for a week and a half, and I guess just the timing of it jumped out more that they didn't wait until, say, after the Browns joint practices, right? They were proactive there.
Well, and who knows if they're getting interest elsewhere and like the Eagles already had this backup plan in mind and now it's push come to shove. You know, they brought both guys in to work out. So it's like they definitely needed help there. And we, you know, that's the reason that we had days of Terrell Edmonds and Nolan Smith and Kyron Johnson practicing in the middle. I think the most obvious reason for this is Nicholas Morrow is not what they were hoping that he would be. Right. Like, my guess now is that Nicholas Morrow is not going to make the team.
I would agree there. And I think in getting back to Howie a bit, one thing that I've noticed, especially in recent years, is I feel he's been more honest about his roster in recent years than, well, it's hard for me to say than earlier on in his career, but he's not waiting for a problem to come up in October or November, right? He's being proactive there. Now, you can say nose tackle last year. Part of that was a reaction to Jordan Davis getting injured. And the fact that at that point in the year, they were legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I guess the Linval Joseph thing's different. I was listening to a podcast with Ndamukong Suh the other day, and he's very like deliberate and intentional about where he signs and when. So that factored into the timing there. But no, I think Howie saw what we saw, that they needed help at linebacker. I mean, anyone probably watched the Nick Sirianni press conference the other day saying Nick's happy with the room. This is just competition. This isn't competition. This is they need help there. I see in the chat, Steve says should have signed Edwards. I'm going to tell you, Steve, and we addressed this in March. Get used to this. This is an Eagles organizational philosophy. They're not going to spend money and they're not going to spend draft resources at linebacker. What they're going to do is what they did here. They'll try to draft and develop in, you know, middle, late rounds, and then take these lottery ticket, dart throwing free agents. And when it works, you have TJ Edwards and Kaiser White like you had last year. And when it doesn't work, you have the Zach Brown, you know, go on down the list. All the guys, Davion Taylor, by the way, who I should have said they cut the other night. Right, they took a chance on a upside player, and it didn't work out. So that's kind of the approach that they're taking.
So I am curious to see how Cunningham and Jack are you know, jockeying for position here. I think you could maybe make a case. I mean, we'll see. I would imagine that at tomorrow's practice, Cunningham is the one working with the ones and Jax with the twos. But I think you could make a case that, like today, when Jack was in there, he's working alongside Ellis, right? Hmm. And it seemed maybe that's...
Well, he was alongside Morrow.
It was Morrow. Yeah, and he was rotating with Morrow, too.
Rotating with Ellis.
Yeah. Like, stylistically, it would make more sense for Cunningham to be next to Dean, right? Because in theory, Dean is the one who can do a little bit more sideline to sideline. And you don't necessarily want to have two small linebackers on the field. But I think I agree with you that there's probably a higher likelihood that Jack has more left in his body than Cunningham does. But I think this is the reason why you signed both of these guys, is because both of them have about a 40% chance of hitting. And, you know, now all of a sudden you've got a 60% chance or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how much credence you put into the PFF stats.
None.
Miles Jack was not particularly good in coverage last year. I mean, year next and the to year none. Before, but, yeah. but he was productive earlier.
Especially linebacker coverage stats.
Zach Cunningham, there's kind of this perception that he's good in coverage because he has the length and the range.
He's got those Michael Jacquet arms.
Yeah, the 34-inch arms. And I've seen that kind of reported elsewhere that this is someone who can really help them out in coverage with his length. My understanding is that hasn't really been where he's excelled in the NFL, that he's been kind of inconsistent in coverage, and where he's really helped teams is – where he's really helped his teams is with the tackling and the run stopping and chasing guys down.
Mm. Okay. I'm curious. Do you think this is it? This is the linebacker room for the 2022 or 23 season?
Oh, good question. I think that they could. I think they'll see in the Baltimore. I'm sorry, in the Cleveland week and the Indianapolis week, and if they have to try to make a trade, they'll try to make a trade. But you can't count on a guy like C.J. Gardner-Johnson becoming available, right? No, I'm sure they have a short list. That's what the pro scouting department does. But no, I think there's a chance this could be the same. This could be the group.
Now,
I don't think Howie's done. I don't think Howie's walking into the meeting room saying
he's going to sleep tonight. He's all
we're good.
Good,
guys. Yeah, we're good. Yeah,
I don't necessarily want to go all the way into this, but I think there's still a chance that Christian Ellis is the best linebacker on the team for this season.
I don't want to get into this, but I still think there's a chance Nolan Smith's the best linebacker on the team for the season. So,
do you think that's a good use of him?
No, I think what you want him to do is rush the quarterback, but you want to get him on the field, and that's the way I see it. Is that I just think there's so much talent there. Now, I would rather have him play 40% of the snaps rushing the quarterback than
80% of the snaps as a linebacker. I think that's
dropping
right.
Dropping in the coverage, yeah. But he's someone who I would want to get on the field, and if he's on the field, maybe you can do a handful of different things there. Mm.
All right, what else did you see at practice today? You have the report today, so
yeah.
What jumped out to you from the action on the field?
Yeah, I'm going to give a tip of the cap to Bo here because – I'm not pandering to you. I sometimes try to butter you up, but you were genuinely on Reed Blankenship before anyone else. And I was saying going into camp that I think it's going to be Edmonds and Sidney Brown. Reed Blankenship is the first team safety every day, and he's playing well. He had an interception today that was just tremendous range. And the thing that jumped into my head when he made that play was, like, if Reed Blankenship was their second-round pick this year or third-round pick, if he was Sidney Brown and Sidney Brown made that play, I would be like, oh, man, you know, the Eagles nailed it.
Well, right? I think I know why that popped into your head.
Because that came up on the show yesterday.
Yeah. Because that line was literally said by somebody in your ears yesterday.
Guilty as charged. But no, that's... Reed Blankenship had a good day today. Marcus Mariota had probably his best practice of the summer from where I sit today. We point out the bad days. He looked better today. I don't want to say this was Jalen's worst practice of the summer, but Jalen was not particularly
This was the day of the summer where more than others, like the defense, won the day.
Yes. Agreed there. There were times when the quarterback seemed to be holding the ball longer, which is usually an indication that the coverage is holding up. There were a few sacks in there, or I should say would-be sacks. I was standing next to you during one-on-ones just to try to, through osmosis, learn about offensive line play. And Jordan Davis, man, he was a Julian Good Jones. It was Cameron Tom.
It was a dominant rush, but it was against Cameron Tom. But yes.
Yeah, still, that was a good rush. I thought Jalen Carter had a really good rush against Tyrese Robinson.
And another one against Toth that was, he showed some power. I am to the expectations point, like if Reed Blankenship was a second round pick, like if Jalen Carter was the number two overall pick, like he was projected to be, like I would be a little bit disappointed with what I've seen so far. I think he's flashed, but I have not been blown away by Jalen Carter yet.
Not on a snap to snap thing, but I think the high watermarks have been good.
Okay. Speaking of defensive tackles, and I know you talked about this the other day, but like the experimentation that we might see from Sean Desai. We saw some three safety looks today. We saw a look today up front where they had four defensive tackles on the line and two edge rushers. It was like a six-man line, essentially, and then just one linebacker and four defensive backs. And what I thought was particularly interesting about this was they had Fletcher Cox, and then Marlon Tuipulotu was the nose, and then Jordan Davis was not the nose. He was off. He was like the four eye, essentially, and then Milton Williams was closer to the edge. So, I mean, I don't expect we're going to see a lot of that. It seems like a specialized package against certain offensive personnel types. But I think it's a continuation of, like, do we believe that the Eagles are going to let Jordan Davis play as an even front defensive tackle next to Fletcher Cox as he's lined up this summer? I think the more we see, the more likely that is to happen.
Yes, I expect that to happen. I expect that before camp, and I expect that now. To that point, though, we also saw a four safety look today. I don't know if you spotted that one.
I read about it. I missed it when it happened, but it was that fourth down need to score situation.
Yes, and Justin Evans was in the slot, and I think it was actually a play when Justin Evans had the interception.
Yes.
Okay.
Now I know that did Elliot Shore Parks do this to you because he's taken the stats. He wanted to know whether he should count that as an interception or whether it was a sack. I said interception.
He did not ask me that. I would have said sack on that play.
I think he heaved it because he was going to get sacked. But I mean, it was like down six seconds, the game's about to end. You got to throw the ball up. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
What did Elliot rule?
I think he ended up ruling sack.
So he didn't take your word.
No.
Oof. Good luck, Elliot.
Who did you talk to after practice today, Zach?
Jamal Singleton for a while, the running backs coach. I appreciate you letting me get in on Jamal there. Spoke to A.J. Brown some. A.J. Brown's been having a real good summer. It's like the way we were talking about Jalen Hurts earlier this year, or earlier this summer, that he just makes plays every day, and you just expect that to happen. Goddard was talking. I had to leave Goddard and spoke to Josh Sills. Josh Sills, for the record, said he's happy to clear his name. He's grateful to be back with the Eagles, that he did not know what was going to happen there. It's been a tough time. He's in a good headspace. He kind of wants to move on and focus on football. And what you see is what you get with him.
Interesting. What you see is what you get. That's okay.
Well, I asked him at the end what the what should the public know about you, right? This is your opportunity. And he kind of didn't understand where I was going with the question. And I said, this was a high profile situation. People don't really know a lot about you, you know. Yeah, what would you like them to know? And he said, what you see is what you get. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else we should talk about before we get to Matt Quinn? Talk a little Mountjoy.
Yeah. Anything else here? So, let's see. So the Eagles are, well, this could be of interest to some fans. It didn't really move me too much, but Jalen Hurts named number three player.
Oh, you know what? I did want to talk about this.
In the NFL Network. Yeah.
Did you watch that clip?
I saw the clip online. I didn't watch the show.
Right. I saw the clip that,
online. Yeah.
Really Alabama heavy. That was interesting. Mm-hmm. We have seen how this list is made. Like the people from NFL Network come into the locker room. They hand out these sheets to the players after practice. It's they put 25 names down, and it's like, hey man, put me on your list. Put me on your list. And you know, like it's how like you know John Kuhn gets on the top 100 or whatever. So this is it's like to,
such a random throw put with John Kuhn
to call it like pseudoscience is an insult to pseudoscience. It's ridiculous. That said, I do think it matters the way that Jalen Hurts is perceived by other players in the league. I think now listen, as people have pointed out, I think Carson Wentz was number three on this after the 2017 season. So
that's fairly ominous.
Take a pretty big grain of salt here. But I think I think it's interesting the way that Jalen Hurts is perceived by other guys in the league. And I think that the way he plays the position, the way that his teammates, you know, tell their friend, talk about him to their friends in the league, I think it's all part of like the Jalen Hurts package. I think it's part of what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I think that's well said. He's someone who is like universally respected. And for the way he plays, for the way he carries himself, for the way he's built his career. So I would agree. And by the way, I think that's something that could be advantageous for the Eagles in the coming years.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
I think players might want to come here and play with Jalen Hurts.
I think that's part of it. Yeah. And, you know, he deserves it. He was unbelievable last year. Okay. All right. That'll do it for the start of the show here. Take a little break. Come back with Matt Quinn. We will be back on Thursday at 3:00 again. On Thursday, I'm going to be giving away my Saturday night tickets to Mountjoy. We're going to do a live somebody. I'm going to ask a trivia question. Whoever gets it in the chat first is going to get those tickets. So for the sickos who want to watch, show up live on Thursday. But for now, we'll take a little word from our...
And make sure then, I'm sorry to jump in.
That's okay.
Make sure you win Bo's tickets. You go to Mountjoy on Saturday. You enjoy a great concert. And then you come home and watch our podcast find out what happened in the game.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I'm guessing that... Who do you think is going to lead the Eagles in carries on Saturday night? Is it going to be Kennedy Brooks or are we going to get somebody
else? I think it's going to be Trey Sermon. I think they're showcasing Trey.
Okay.
The Ravens are favored in this game because the Ravens are awesome in the preseason.
Right.
So, yeah, something to watch.
Okay. All right. A little word from the sponsors. Back on the other side with Matt Quinn, Mountjoy. Enjoy the interview.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back on Birds with Friends. You know him from such world chart-topping hits as Sweet Marissa and Good Riddance, IKTR. He is the lead singer of Mountjoy, who has two shows in Philadelphia this weekend. Saturday and Sunday at the Skyline Stage at the Man. I will be there Sunday night. Would have been there Saturday night if it weren't for the Ravens, but that's a topic for another time. He is all of those things. He is also newly married. Congratulations. Most of all, he's a sicko from beautiful Buffalo, New York. Matt Quinn, thank you for being here, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. Zach, I was just saying, I felt your pain. I have it's like a nice, you know, as nice a view as you get of Buffalo, New York out this window, but, and the shot is all backlit. So I had to pull the blinds, which looks like I'm in a hospital or something like that.
And, you know, I think there's like a perception of musicians that maybe they're not like the most like on time people, you know, they're sort of on their own schedule. You were here right at time to record. So was I. Zach, unfortunately, late on behalf of what? Why were you late, Zach?
I was on Shield's podcast, Philly Special. Okay. And no, we were good on time. We jumped off at 3 o'clock. And so by the time I saved it, uploaded, got the link, came on here, it was like 3:01 or 3:02. I apologize. In college, they used to say better never than late. So shouldn't I apologize, Matt, but excited to talk to you here.
So, Matt, I have to ask you about what I imagine must have been a seminal moment in your life. Take me to what was going through your head, the emotions, the interaction when you were in the Philadelphia airport and you thought that maybe you had a celebrity sighting.
Well, you know, I was behind Zach in line at Jamba Juice at like, it was early in the morning, or early for me. I don't know if it was early for you, but
it's not
exactly up at 4.
And I don't know, you know, I figured out it was Zach, and then I was starstruck. It took me probably a beat to be like, all right, I should say hi. But yeah, got my, you know, it's Terminal C there that has the Jamba Juice, which when I see Terminal C, that's, I know I'm headed to Jamba Juice for an acai. And yeah, I got to see Zach. It's pretty awesome.
Taller than expected, probably, right?
Yes, quite a bit.
Yeah. So before we get to, again, we want to talk some Eagles. We want to talk a little, not too much music. I know that's not what you're here for, but give us a little bit of the lay of the land for this weekend. The Saturday show is sold out, although I may be giving away my Saturday tickets on the show here. But a few tickets still available for Sunday and also some other fun things going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Sunday's the day if you don't have a ticket, unless you're going to get Bo's ticket. And we're doing, we're trying to just raise some money while we're there. We're working with Be Philly, which is Jason Kelsey's charity, which works with mostly like public schools, I think, in Philadelphia. And then Connor Barwin's Make the World Better, which obviously helps build awesome parks in the city. And Sharing Excess, which is a cool charity that we've partnered up with, which is helping to bridge the gap between, you know, I guess, excess food and food insecurity. And if you're interested in that stuff, checking out the Sharing Excess websites, pretty interesting. We waste an extraordinary amount of food as people. And there are people that, you know, 34 million Americans with experience food insecurity. So it's a cool company helping to bridge that gap. And just for our shows, we're doing you could bring a non-perishable food item, we're doing a little food drive for the show.
That's right. So, you know, chuck a can of baked beans at me if you see me on Sunday.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Zach, are you going to be there?
I unfortunately am not going to be there. I was hoping to be there. The preseason schedule got in our way. Originally, the game was on Friday and the game got moved to Saturday and just threw some things out of whack. But I'm eager to see the next show and have become a devoted Mountjoy fan and an admirer of your work.
Wow. That's huge for me. Huge for me. Huge for me in the band. Obviously, pretty bummed you're not going to make it, but we'll try to go on without you.
So I know that Zach is curious about this, but like life on the road now, you're just beginning this very long leg of the tour. You were in Chicago last night. You're in Buffalo now. As you texted me today, it was like a 10-hour, very bumpy bus ride. What are your days like right now?
Well, we just did three days in a row. So we did, we started in Indianapolis and then Detroit and Chicago. Now we have a day off. So it's kind of like just do nothing or get to go on your favorite podcast, which is cool. But yeah, sleeping at night on a bus, the bus drives at night. So, bus driver sleeps during the day. I took the elevator up this morning with her. She was going to bed. I was going to be on a podcast, which is pretty cool. It's an interesting lifestyle. I definitely, you know, the music was the dream, and then you kind of get to actually do it and you're like, wish I was like a middle linebacker or something. Maybe not a middle linebacker, maybe like quarterback, I guess would be better.
Quarterback, well paid. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Kicker, you don't have to do much. Middle linebacker is like you're wrecking your body, and you're not going to be that well paid, and it's a short career. It's tough.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Go on, Matt.
Yeah. No, I don't want to be a linebacker. I changed my mind.
As I shared with both of you at separate times, until we had that airport encounter, I thought living on the road was just a figure of speech, right? Like I didn't realize you literally slept on the bus. I thought the bus takes you from location, you're in accommodations, whatever it may be, a hotel, an Airbnb, and then you go to the next place the next day. I didn't realize you're driving overnight from site to site. I'm curious, these shows, it's not just our artistic, there's a physical toll that it takes too. How do you deal with how do you get the sleep and the restorative, I guess, energy that you need in those situations?
Honestly, I don't know. Some people are able to just sleep on the bus, which is like sleeping on a moving thing is like not really my skill set. But you know, some people are better than others. But honestly, I think you just get to this point, like we just started this tour. And after about like 5 or 6 days, you reach an amount of tiredness where you can sleep anywhere at any time. And so you just, you know, you just, I guess, crash kind of really. It's an interesting thing. It's probably not good for your brain.
It's like having a newborn.
It's like, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
And so what is the bus? Is it like, we got like 5 pods for everybody? And like, we got space.
Yeah. So on setup. We've graduated to what they call in the biz condo bunks, which is a bit of a flex. You know, usually like your standard bus has 12 bunks. So it's like 1, 2, 3, you know, on there's two, yeah. And then there's behind that 1, 2, 3. So there's 6 on either side.
Okay.
And it's picture like sleeping. If you've ever seen like a ship, you know, or something like that, you have these little trays where you go into, and you can like barely roll over in a 12 person one, but in we call the condo bunks, we only have 8. So that means we can like fully sit up. There's only one bunk above us. It's like a regular bunk bed kind of thing.
Okay. Now are you on the top or the bottom?
I'm on the top. The bottom is, well, we're really getting into it here. This is really bus. This is good. This is good though. The bus is like, the bottom advantage is you just can just slide right in, you know, it's like kind of on the floor, but it is like, you're right. It's not like the engine's rumbling you and like, you kind of feel things a little more, whereas up top, less of that, but more sway, which is like, you know, it's a little weird.
Classic give and take.
Yeah. Pick your poison. Yeah.
Go ahead, Zach.
I was going to move on from the bus life unless you had more there.
It's okay.
I'm curious. It's a common, I'm giving you a chance to pander here, but this is a legit curiosity I have, is that in the sports world, as you well know, it becomes something where the athletes say there's something special about playing in Philly, right? And I see it going to all these games. The crowd is different in Philly than it is in Jacksonville or in a different venue.
Just like Kelsey, just throwing Jacksonville under the bus.
I know music might not be the same, but is there something distinctive about performing in Philly relative to a different market?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are lots of great music cities in the country, but I think it's partially that I'm from Philly too, you know, and a couple of people, or Sam from the band as well, is from Philly. So I think we get sort of a hometown, you know, we get that, I guess, thing that it's very connected, I think, to the sports thing too. Like, I mean, I go to the Eagles games and we bring a bus, and those same people are bringing the bus to the man. So, you know, it's like, I feel like people are
That's awesome.
treating it similarly. You know, especially playing there on the weekends, you know, you get the best of people are going to tailgate our
sure.
shows, and they'll be tuned up for some music. You know, I can't say that about, I guess other places get ready for the shows. I don't know, but I feel like, yes.
The Philly fan in you, the like that comes with like a territorialness and a competitiveness, is that something that creeps into music? Like, is there like a band out there that's like the Kirk Cousin Melvins? You're like, you're not specifically calling anybody out, but is it like, is there the competitive nature there?
Oh, for sure. I think it's
also
maybe
feel
not
free to call somebody out if you want to, but
yeah, I would definitely get in trouble for that. But I think it's not even so specific to like, you know, we definitely have bands I think that we think about in terms of like we're measuring our success to theirs, because it's sort of hard to like know how well you're doing unless you have things like that, because I mean, the goal is just to make good music, but that's a really subjective measure that could sure. lead you to not really knowing how well you're doing. So yeah, we definitely like, we're trying to be as, I don't know, competitive might be the wrong word, but we're definitely aware of what other people are doing, and we crack tons of jokes at the expense of other bands, I'll tell you that much. So
okay, yeah. Now we're talking. I like that. Yeah. This is my last music tie, and then we can talk Eagles. But you know how last year at the NFC Championship game, Jalen sort of pulled some, he had said he loves Anita Baker. And so the Eagles got Anita Baker to sing the national anthem for the NFC Championship game. Let's say that Kelce goes to Jeffrey Lurie. He's like, my very last home game, I want you to have Mount Joy sing the national anthem for us. Do you have you thought about that? What's the, like the, do you have a your spin on it? A Mount Joy take on the anthem? I'm a big anthem guy.
Yeah, well, the anthem's hard. I've talked to people musicians who've done the anthem. I was actually talking to a bit of a flex here, Nathaniel Ratliff, who did, I think, the anthem for the Nuggets in a finals game, which is pretty okay. cool. So he was kind of thrown into this.
That's tough.
And yeah, it's like, do you go with like the sort of band arrangement? Is there a guitar involved?
Mm.
It's tough in a stadium. There's like the echo happening and, you know, just a tiny acoustic guitar down there. I don't know. I think I might just pretend I don't even know, like Anita Baker, I guess, and just go for it.
Yeah,
probably
like that flex.
Super
yeah.
scared.
Two questions here to transition to the Eagles talk, okay, because it kind of combines both. You mentioned at the top the affiliation or the connection, if you will, with Kelce and with Barwin. What's the background there? And then if I can ask a second non-related question, but I'm sure you saw Kelce and the group do the Christmas album. What's the degree of difficulty for football players to perform, to make an album like that?
Well, the first part is just, you know, obviously huge fans of the Eagles and had a chance to meet Kelce. And as you guys know, is just like such an incredible human on so many levels, and athlete as well. And obviously inspired by his charitable work too. So that's pretty much that. And then obviously same with Connor Barwin, had a chance to meet him, and just an awesome, super impressive guy, and excited about what he's doing in the city. So that was that. And then actually had a chance to go to a party that they did for the Christmas album.
Flex. And the big flex. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, just flexing all over the place here. But I bring that up just because I got to meet some of the people that were involved in, you know, pulling it together outside of the players. And I'm not taking anything away from the players, but I think they're both, as you know, both Connor Barron and Jason Kelce are super smart guys, and they pulled in all the right people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's the smartest thing you could do in a situation like that, is that you find the right producer. And Charlie Hall, who is the drummer for The War on Drugs, I think produced the project and is a super accomplished musician in his own right. And then, you know, I think having worked with good producers myself, it's like they kind of, you know, they make it easy. So it's like a quarterback, you know, you just sort of run the route and then the ball's there on time. It's going to sound good. So
very nice. Look at this. So how are we feeling about the Birds? How are you feeling?
You know, I feel so good about the Birds that it's like I'm almost doing the – it's gone the back way around. I'm like, how are they going to blow it? You know, like what is the – and you guys have talked about that a little bit where it's like I'm trying to defend against the – you know, because at least then I'll be able to say I knew this was going to happen. You know,
sure.
It's kind of like Bo here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got it. Well, here's the thing. I mean, they could be – they could be you know, 3 games worse and they'd still win 11 games.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my brothers and I were talking about it. I think this is – big flex, right, brothers?
How many though? Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Yeah.
I have 3 brothers, so
okay. You're almost there. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm working on it. I guess you know, that's really on my mom at that point. Wow, I'm just overthought.
Well, listen, I know. I'm sorry, but we got to catch the Bermans. You got to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I guess that's up to my dad and my mom. I don't even really want to think about that. But
I mean, maybe they'll adopt. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, we were talking about, like, is this the best Eagles roster in you know, in our, at least our memory of watching games together? And it's certainly, I think there's certainly an argument. Maybe that, like you guys have talked about, there's some depth stuff. So then you do start going to the like, all right, well, how would they possibly, you know, not be good? And I don't know. I've just seen Eagles teams. Obviously, we all have where they're very good on paper. And then, you know, the Redskins just start marching down the field. And you're like, maybe, you know, maybe our secondary isn't good or something, you know, that you didn't foresee. And that's really more where my head's at. I'm like, you know, is it going to be the defense?
Kelsey thing from last summer. Yeah. Like that whenever they're supposed to be good, they're not. It is a little bit on my radar. Remember having this conversation in 2018? It was like, you know, they went and got Michael Bennett. It was like, wow, like this roster is somehow even better than the Super Bowl roster. And it never works out that way. But, you know, I think the overarching thing is like offense matters the most. And as long as like 5 important people stay healthy, their offense should still be one of the best in the league.
I agree.
I don't know what the musical equivalent of a layup is. So I won't try that, but this is a layup question I'm fascinated by is what's your Eagles origin story, if you will? How did you become the devoted Eagles fan that you are?
You know, I grew up, I had a couple of friends who had season tickets, and this was like at the Bet, and got to go to some, fortunate enough to be taken along to like, they were crushing losses really, but like I went to some of those crushing NFC championship losses earlier. I went to that Buccaneers one, sits pretty heavy. Yeah, just for as long as I can.
Rondé Barber goes into the Hall of Fame, even though the whole point of that defense was that corners don't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to watch. There was a lot of like, I think that was the tip catch by Joe Jaravicious there, like where he just,
first drive of the game against Blaine Bishop. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember Warren Sapp got injured in that game and he ran into the tunnel kind of like close to where we were. I think he got poked in the eye or something like that. Anyways, that
just like
totally
more
wrong.
Practice on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. Anyways, I just like, as long as I can remember, and I sort of, then, you know, eventually, my family, when we got to the link, got 2 tickets, and now we have an old school bus converted, painted green, and which I reference in a Mountjoy song. And just have gone down to the games for a long time. So yeah, just I even like chronicle. I was talking to someone last night about this because they said they were an Eagles fan and they were talking about the Thanksgiving game against the Cardinals. And I was like, the Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, that was, you know, we really got torched. You know, like I think about Eagles games sort of they tell time for me.
Yes. Yeah. You mark time, absolutely. You mentioned a song, so I do have to ask this, because I go back and forth on trying to read the subtext. In Johnson's song, I want you to go on the record. Is it about Fred, Roderick, Kyron, Patrick, or Lane?
If it was about any of them, it'd have to be Lane. I think he's earned that.
Yeah, had to. You know, who knew when you wrote the song they were gonna have so many Johnsons?
It's crazy. Yeah, good. And good for them. There's a power in the Johnson, which is anytime you say it, it feels wrong.
this is another layup here, but this is often a good question to ask anyone, whether it's just
Flex,
a regular fan or a celebrity like yourself, is what's your Super Bowl memory? Where were you? How did you spend it? And what's that moment like in your mind?
So I was, I flew back to Philly, and a friend, I was living in LA at the time. And I flew back to be there because I had a feeling, that, well, I felt like worst case scenario. I know that feeling really well. So I'll just be in Philly drinking my sorrows away. But, yeah, was at a bar not too far from Broad Street. A friend had like rented out a little, zone of a bar, and then we just rushed onto Broad Street and watched very illegal things happen. And it was fantastic.
Mm. And what about the most recent one?
Most recent one, I live in Philadelphia, and of course I was traveling. I forget what I had going on, but I was in LA and I went to an Eagles bar, and there was like, you know, I think 99% Eagles fans. It was a good time. Obviously there's one table of Chiefs fans at the Eagles bar. And, you know, just, I'll never forget that. Like, obviously walking out after the holding call. And just, you know, they're celebrating at this table, like with like, chicken wings. And it's like, you know, go to hell, you know, go to hell, Sinky, I guess.
That's right. Eating chicken wings. What are we doing here?
Yeah. It's terrible. But, you know, I actually felt like that game, I was thinking about this morning, like, that game, even when they were driving down, like I still look back and I'm like, I still thought we were going to win. Like, it just felt confident. That team had such an air of like, they're going to find a way if they can get the ball back. And obviously they didn't, but yeah.
Now, Zach's going to think that I'm the one pandering here, but how much do you personally hold Jonathan Gannon responsible for that game?
You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously the defense, I mean, Pat Mahomes is pretty good, but I feel like it's fair to say that the defense might have cost us the game there. I mean, the ball was in their court, so to speak, and they let up a touchdown. Or I guess they let up a field goal. Again.
Right. The penalty leads to the clock running out on the field goal. But I'm with you. I think if they get the ball back, I think Jalen Hurts, I mean, who's to say? But I think they score a touchdown and go for two, and who knows what happens if they go for two.
Well, here's the thing that I was thinking about for you guys, because I know, Zach, you kind of challenged Bo on, like, are you pandering with the Gannon thing, or is it like you genuinely?
Yeah. Go on. I'm listening. Yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking about this. I was like, I think the real test is, like, I think what I'm more interested in, at least, and I think a lot of Eagles fans probably share this, is the, obviously something happened where there was some sort of collusion of some sort between the Cardinals and Gannon, and obviously the league punished them for that. And that leads to Desai instead of Vic Fangio. So I think the storyline for the year for me is like, if the Dolphins defense is like lights out and seems like they are, you know, they've got some good, obviously good players down there. And if they have, you know, which wouldn't be too shocking, if they have like a, it'd be interesting to track the DVOA this year, Dolphins versus the Eagles. Because I think that's the bigger storyline. It's less about Gannon. He was probably leaving either way.
Yeah.
But did we miss out on a sort of Hall of Fame level defensive coordinator because of that? So I think maybe that's where the Gannon, you know.
I don't think there's any doubt that that is the case.
Yeah.
That if things had been done on the up and up, that Vic Fangio would be the Eagles defensive coordinator. Do you disagree, Zach?
I don't disagree that he would have been that if it was a situation like, say, Dan Quinn a few years ago, when Dan Quinn was effectively hired, but they couldn't announce it until after the Falcons were in the Super Bowl, or Kevin O'Connell, then Vic Fangio would have waited, right? But if,
I mean, the guy was in the building for that reason.
Well, he had already been hired by the Dolphins at that point. No, I mean, but yeah, you're correct.
Employee of the Eagles.
Yes.
An expectation that this would be the case. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Now, just two quick things here for Matt as we're talking about this Gannon discussion. I imagine your music sounds much more original if you don't play it in an echo chamber, right? And so that's kind of that's like all the Gannon conversation. And the second thing is there's a reason why we're talking to Matt and not his manager, because it's about the talent, right? Talent makes music. Talent wins games. There were 22 players on the field that day. And to blame it on a coordinator when there was the best quarterback in the NFL, when there was a defense that had 70 sacks and ranked fifth in DVOA. I mean, players win games, players lose games. And if the Eagles won that game, you wouldn't be saying they won because of Jonathan Gannon. So well, they lose that game.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be saying that if they gave up a touchdown and then went and scored just 8 points to win. You're right.
So I believe in players more than, you know, I believe
in. He gets no credit for the ranking that they had in DVOA.
No, I mean, if you're talking about him as a coach, but I'm saying they didn't lose this game because there's so many. We don't need to relitigate
awareness stuff at play. Like the only thing you can't do on that final drive is let them take the entire clock out. You need to be more aggressive because if you give up a touchdown, that's fine. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. I don't. We don't have to completely relitigate this.
I hear you there. I'm just saying there's a reason why Matt's not performing in an echo chamber. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be
although that's kind of like what a studio is, right?
Maybe a lot of feedback, I guess, but it could be cool. Could be very avant-garde, I guess. I don't know. I guess I don't think, and maybe, you know, there's all different types of Eagles fans. I don't think a lot of the people I talk to are like thinking that Jonathan Gannon was this terrible defensive coordinator and he cost us the Super Bowl as much as it is like looking forward at if there was, you know, I think the Eagles and Sirianni obviously gave him a great opportunity. Now he's a head coach in the league, and that maybe he owed it to the organization and the head coach to abide by the rules.
Well, I'm with you there.
Ethical heartstrings that he can't.
Yeah, now you're speaking my language. Yes, for sure.
Character counts.
You see that over my shoulder. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that's like on your mind, Eagles wise, that you want to talk about? Anything you're worried about or excited about?
Well, I have a question. You know, I think one thing that escapes, and maybe you guys, I mean, I assume you know, but is where do the Eagles sit in terms of their ability from a cap standpoint to make a move at a place like safety or linebacker, if something, you know, I imagine there's one more thing that Howie's got up his sleeve, but I wonder, like, you know, how realistic is it to bring in like a, you know, maybe top of the market type safety or something like that?
I would say they have flexibility this year to make any type of move that we're talking about. If you're talking about one of those headlining moves where it inhibits you, when you look at having to re-sign Devontae Smith, potentially Landon Dickerson, there are only so many players you can have that are, you know, $15, $20, $25 million players, right? So if you're talking about a safety that's just eat it on the chin this year or take it on the chin this year, or he's not a $10 million player, he's a $5 million player, an $8 million player, they can do that. And they can make a big splash, but if they make a big splash, it'll be harder to keep Devontae and Landon Dickerson and some of these other guys who are coming up. Hassan Reddick's next contract, whatever it may be.
I think generally speaking, Eagles fans and even the beat writers are in a fortunate position because the Eagles are so good at maneuvering the cap. And a lot of it is just borrowing from the future and restructuring stuff. And, you know, it'll catch up eventually. But that, like, it's just funny money. It, like, if there's something to be done, they will find a way to make it done. So, you know, if it's like, I don't even know who a safety would be, but if there's a trade to be made, or if, you know, an upset veteran somewhere else, you know, like Chris Jones or something is looking for a way out, could the Eagles make a move? I don't, if it makes sense or not. Yeah. Football wise is a different question, but I think they have enough room to make it happen.
Yeah.
Where did the Buda Baker situation land?
He signed. He ended up signing a long term contract.
He said, JG, I want to be your guy.
Pew pew pew.
Yeah. God.
That's right.
That does feel like to me that's the one part of this, like obviously up the middle, you know, on the defensive line, maybe something like you said, but
yeah,
I like Reed Blankenship, but it does seem like a bit of a stretch that like all of a sudden he's this going to be this guy that steps right in and
great white hope, holds. Yeah.
Yeah. I still think that the way the Eagles think is if there's a splash to be made, it's like Bo said, it's going to be on the defensive line more than, you know, they just organizationally, if they're going to bring in someone who is costing, you know, $15, $20 million, It's a defensive, it's someone who affects the quarterback. It's not someone playing that far from the ball.
I think at that price point, that's right. But, you know, it could be, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson last year, where it's
exactly
a rental, something like that.
Yeah. A Jeremy Chin type. Yeah.
I think linebacker is maybe even still after the two signings yesterday where that might be. We'll see. All right. So what do we got? What do we got before Philly? We're in Buffalo tonight.
No, so I'm off tonight in Buffalo. So actually,
you might have a Buffalo recommendation. He's got a place in every city.
I'll take it.
I mean, Buffalo's kind of cliche to go with Anchor Bar, right? But honestly, last time the Eagles were in Buffalo, I spent the night in Syracuse, and I drove up the morning of.
Oh, that's right.
So
said goodbye to the old haunts with Gil.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually don't make it up to Buffalo. I spent 5 nights in Buffalo for an NCAA regional one time, and I drove to Niagara Falls to play some blackjack. So that was my I made sure I brought my passport on that trip, and I was across the border.
Oh, I've got it here. We've got Burlington, and then 2 nights in Central Park. Now we're talking. Yeah. We know we've got Birds with Friends fans in New York. Let's make it happen.
So in Central Park, that's terrific. Great venue.
Yeah, excited. Should be a fun week, and then obviously Philly after that. So pretty excited. I will say, I always think it's funny. Been to Niagara Falls a few times, and like that is a spot where people gamble is so funny to me. It's like the attraction is literally outside. I mean, it is. There's casinos, and that's obviously a big part of the attraction there. But it's just always so funny to me. It's like it's so like. Such a, I don't know, a statement of where humans are at. It's like there's this giant waterfall, and they've built like the most indoor activity you could possibly
have. Right. Like going to play blackjack at the Grand Canyon. Like,
guilty as charged there.
It's beautiful.
One last question for me. What's your dream venue?
You know, I mean, we've been lucky to play like Red Rocks and the Gorge, and those places are awesome, and play Red Rocks and like, days or something like that. But then but I will say, like, as a fan of Philly sports, like I think if I ever got in any of the arenas there or stadiums, I think that's now definitely the dream fuel.
That's awesome. Well, the good news is that now the windows open up in the press box at the Link, so
that was a request from us.
All right. Well, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for all your help with the Ospreys over the past couple of years. Just the absolute best. And
IKTR. Of course,
we will see you this weekend. Everybody make sure they go out if you can.
I know that's right. And thank you guys. And congratulations to Marissa if she's watching. That's awesome. Thank you guys.
And congrats to you. All right. Thank you so much. And then I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. So for Matt and Zach and Madison and JG, I'm Bo. We thank you for listening. We will talk to you on Thursday. And as always, we love you. Birds with Friends. Birds with Friends.